apply. You would speak to each person, Lord. I pray that you would give them revelation. You'd give them wisdom, Lord. These very ones that you love, Father, I'm asking that you would bless them. You would speak to them, Lord. And you would show them the wisdom of what I'm going to share with them, but how to do it, Lord. Give them insight. Personalize it to them, Father, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, welcome me back. Just joking. All right. I'm just messing. I love you guys. What a privilege. What a privilege to bring the Word of God to you today. Oh, are you excited for the Word? Man. Boy, you know, if you don't like the Word, you get the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure about the work of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the Word right now. You like that? Well, we like all of God's kingdom, don't we? Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. We're learning how to perfect our faith. Perfect our faith. Perfect our faith. See, we're learning that faith is absolutely essential, vital. You know, you cannot see the kingdom break into your life. You cannot see miracles without faith. You say, oh, I'm not really sure about all that, Dave. I'm a little bit more conservative. I'm not sure if you guys are getting all crazy over here. All right? You cannot even please God without faith. Oh, boy, that's a big deal, right? Faith is not a side subject in the Bible. Jesus, primarily when he was discipling his disciples, was dealing with their issues of faith. It says in the scriptures in Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. You cannot walk in the Spirit. You cannot become like Christ. You cannot see the kingdom break in, whether in, you know, miracles or in your character or anything without faith. That's a big deal, right? I think faith is important. But not only are we learning that faith is vital, we're learning that you can grow your faith. If you don't believe me, you can go back and listen to the other messages because I showed it from the Word. No, I'm just messing. We don't have time this morning for me to go back to that. Many of you are like, come on, let's get on with this. I already figured that part out. But really, some of you don't realize that you might have little faith. You might have no faith. You might have weak faith. You might have great faith. You know, and even if you have weak faith, the Bible says you have genuine faith. Many of you have genuine faith, but that doesn't mean it's refined and perfected. You even got to add some stuff to your faith, the Bible says. And so there's a lot that needs to happen on the inside of us for our faith to get to a point where it's perfect faith, what the Bible calls perfect faith. Or Jesus called it mustard seed faith. Do you remember that from last week? I showed you that mustard seed faith is perfect faith. It's undiluted, convinced, believing God's word without doubting. That's where we're going, okay? And aren't you glad that it's not like you either have it or you don't? Anyone else glad? I don't know about you, this was like a big deal for me. I realized I'm not a victim to my unbelief. It's not like some people are special, you know, like Billy Graham or like, you know, Heidi Baker or something like that, whoever you might. It's not like some, like the Apostle Paul. What is he, like special or something like that? He's just a man who trusted God and who was convinced that people needed to hear the gospel, and he was submitted and surrendered. So it's not like you are a less than. See, I think the thing is that we know faith is important, but then we'll feel like, oh, well, that's just somebody else, not me. But aren't you glad that God has shown us in his word, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the one who's discipling us and working in us to will and to do and show us how we can believe God like Jesus believed God and see the kingdom come like Jesus saw the kingdom come. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we don't want to be hard soil. We don't want to be rocky soil. We don't want to be thorny soil. We want to be good soil, right? So that's what we're learning. So we've learned that we can hear the word of God to build our faith. Habit number one, a lifestyle of hearing the word of God, all right? And so I'll read my Bible. I'll listen to sermons. I'll fellowship with other believers who will speak the word of God to me. And the hearing of the word of God will convince me over time, if I give my heart to the word of God, it'll convince me that the word is true, right? Instead of putting my faith in my faith, I put my faith in the word. I put my faith in God's character. And the hearing of the word of God convinces me that God is faithful and his word is true. We also looked at habit number two, right? Kurt brought that one about hearing testimonies. How when we observe the lives of other people like Abraham or like, you know, Mueller. What's that guy's first name? George Mueller. Believe God for finances and such. Or these other men and women of God. We can see their testimony because their testimony tells us that when you believe God, you see fruit. Right? So you look at the Word of God and you see His faithfulness. You look at testimonies and you see the faith of people and we can learn from them. And so we talked about hearing the Word and hearing testimonies. And then last week, I told you this week that the Lord was going to talk to us about learning how to agree with God. Habit number three. We're going to learn how to agree with God today. So in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus is explaining to His disciples what faith looks like, what faith is, really. They're marveling that He was able to tell a fig tree to be cursed. And it says here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said to His disciples, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Do you see, as I mentioned last week, there is a direct connection between what's going on in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. This is a major biblical principle, a major kingdom principle revealed in the Scriptures, that your heart and your mouth are absolutely connected. And Jesus is saying here, He's teaching us how faith works, that faith believes in the heart. Faith believes in the heart. On the inside of you, you believe that who God says He is, He is. And what He says He will do, He will do. Now, you only know that from the Word, right? We're not talking about making stuff up. We're talking about believing God, right? Believing the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, the gospel, through the gospel. And he says, if you believe in your heart that you speak to this mountain, meaning that you understand your authority in Christ, that you're a representative of Jesus, and that the things on earth have to line up with the things in heaven, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And you say to that mountain, that could be a demon, because remember, Jesus cast out demons, right? It could be sickness. And you speak to that thing and you say, "Go, get out of here," in the name of Jesus. He says, if you believe that what you say will happen, it will happen. But notice, you have to say it. Right? You don't wink at the mountain. You don't wave your finger at the mountain, right? You say to that mountain, "Move." There is something about what's going on in your heart, and that comes out of your mouth, that releases the power of God. And Jesus is telling us right here, when you believe with that mustard seed faith, when you are convinced that God will do what He said, and you voice that faith, faith speaks. Faith voices what it believes. When you do that, Jesus says, nothing's impossible for you. Right? He said that in Matthew 17 and in Mark chapter 9. Same teaching, different context. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. But until we believe it, that mountain's not going to move, right? Even in the natural, we know this, you know? If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You tell your kid to do something, but if you're not going to back it up, they're not going to listen, right? You know what I'm saying? Any parent, right? Don't make me come back there. Don't make me tell you for the 20th time to stop doing that. Now, you don't really have anything to back it up. The kid doesn't believe you. They ain't moving. They're not going to stop. No. Come on, see, so this works with parenting. No, I'm messing around. In the spirit realm, if you don't believe it, then that faith doesn't come out of your mouth. There's a connection between your heart and your mouth. Look at what Jesus says. I'm not making this up, right? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, I'm going to throw it up here on the screen, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard this verse before. Do you see how your heart and your mouth are absolutely connected? Your words reflect what is really going on inside your heart. That means what you say reflects whether you really believe God or not. And I don't mean what you say at church or what you say around other people only. What you say in the hard time, what you say when nobody's listening, what you say to God. Not all prayer is a prayer of faith. A lot of people talking to God, saying things they probably shouldn't say. They did that in the Bible too. Your heart and your mouth are connected, so connected that whatever you are saying out of your mouth is really what you believe, is really what you value, is really what you fear, is really what you love. What you say matters. So when you have mustard seed faith, when you really believe God, that's what comes out of your mouth, right? That's what comes out of your mouth. And if you don't believe God, or if you're double-minded, right? If we have some mixture in our hearts, right? Because we can have faith, genuine faith, but we can have some double-mindedness. Maybe you believe God in one area of your life, but not another area. It's double-mindedness, right? And so you'll speak faith in one area, but then that other area is coming at you. You know, maybe some financial things, and boom, you start speaking unbelief or you speak words of death. Your heart manifests in its words, right? Your words are like the fruit, and your heart is like the roots. Paul says the same thing in Romans 10 when he's talking about our salvation, how we actually came to Christ and are born again. He says in Romans 10, well, what does it say? It is referring to the word of faith or the word of righteousness. And he says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see right there, once again, there's a connection between your heart and your words. You believed something about Jesus, the truth, that God raised Jesus from the dead, right? You believed that. You believed it, and you confessed with your mouth in response to that reality, that truth. You came into agreement with God and you said, yes, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You may have said it in a few different words. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? We maybe call it the sinner's prayer or whatever. But you spoke faith out to God. You believed it and you spoke it. And the Bible says, and you were saved. That means Paul's saying that's how you got born again. The greatest miracle of all miracles happened when you believed something in your heart and you spoke it. That's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. That's how you got saved. That's how the kingdom works. There's a connection between your heart and your words. Here's the crazy thing. If your words reflect what's going on in your heart, right? So if you have that mustard seed faith and you speak with that faith, you're going to see the word come to pass in your life. You're going to see his power. That's good. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I didn't make that up. He said, if you say to the mountain, be removed, and you believe that what you say is going to happen, you say it, it's going to happen. Jesus is trying to teach us how the kingdom works. See, now most of us, we might say, oh, darn. Because when I look at the mountain, I'm not sure if it's going to move. And if we're honest, yeah, a lot of times we are struggling and we're double-minded. And our faith is weak. Right, you might look at the lion or the bear. You could take that out. But then Goliath, you're not sure. You're not ready for Goliath. There's a lot of times where we recognize there are some areas where we need to grow. And so when Jesus is teaching this, is he trying to tell you, you're out. You don't got it. Don't even speak to that mountain. Is he saying that? Not at all. What's great about the fact that your heart and your mouth are connected is that when you speak, even if your faith isn't totally there, when you speak the truth of God out of your mouth, your own ears hear it, and it builds faith inside of your heart. The same words that can move mountains can move your heart. God has designed it this way. You are made in the image of God. This is one of the most important things to understand. It's a huge biblical principle, and it's largely because we're made in the image of God. The whole thing began this way, yes? God said, light be. And light was. You know what I'm saying, right? I want steak. No, I'm joking, he didn't say that. But that's what I would want to say, right? Actually, I had some sushi the other night, so salmon be. All right, I mean, God spoke, and it was. Now, we cannot call things that are not as though they are, right? We're not that. But we can say what God says. We can speak what God says, and then his power is released. It's his power, our faith. Your tongue shapes everything that's going on inside of you, in your own body, and even on the world around you. James chapter 3, I love this, James chapter 3, in verse 2, James says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by the fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Your tongue is the rudder of the ship. Your tongue is the little bit in the horse's mouth. Where your tongue goes, that's where you go. Where your tongue goes, that's where your body goes. Goes, that's where your soul goes, your mind, your will, your emotions. Yes, your emotions will follow your words. Your mind will follow your words. Your words, your mouth, your tongue, I should say specifically, as it says here, your tongue, which of course, you know, vocalizes the words coming out of your lungs and all that, right? The air's coming over the vocal cords and your tongue shapes words and such. Those words coming out of your mouth, they're coming out of your heart, right? They're coming out of your heart. So here's the crazy thing. What you really believe, you say. But you're not a victim to that. God has designed it so that if you will align your words with his word, if you will come into agreement with God, that's literally what the word confess means. When it says we confess Jesus as Lord. The word literally means to say the same word as God. When you choose to voice the truth of God's word out of your mouth, and you come into agreement with God, even when your mind doesn't understand, even when your emotions are still jacked up, even when your heart doesn't really believe it yet, right? You know, I got some stuff there in me yet still. But you choose to speak the word of God out of your mouth. You confess, you agree with God. You will literally direct your own heart where to go. You're going to sow those seeds right back into your heart, and it will build faith. This is one of the best ways to perfect your faith, right here. You hear the word of God, it will build your faith. You speak the word of God, that word's going to go right into your heart, right into your ears, right into your heart. I mean, even psychology and science has even proven some of these things. Now, just at a physical level. The word of God tells us this stuff's going on at a deeper level. But again, it's because we're made in the image of God. But even like teachers, I think Jen mentioned the other day, if you can get someone speaking something, it's activating all parts of their brain, right? Because they're speaking, they're hearing, right? We already know all that stuff's going on. I mean, we can observe it. Oh, that's just in the brain level. There's so much more going on. We're made in the image of God. When your tongue is the rudder. It's the rudder. Your tongue is the rudder of the ship. Where your tongue goes, that's where you go. And if you will speak word of God out of your mouth, it will build your faith. It will strengthen, it will perfect your faith because you'll sow that word right back into your heart and it'll produce faith in you. Make sense? You understand this? Believe this? This is huge. This is huge. Why else? Why else would Abraham be able to strengthen his faith? You say, he strengthened it. If you could not perfect your faith, then why does it say in Romans chapter 4, Abraham was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God? Why would it say that? Why would it say that? Why would it say, and Abraham strengthened his faith, if you couldn't strengthen faith? Now, did Abraham believe God and have a genuine faith about him? Oh, yeah. But did Abraham have some issues in his life? Maybe some areas where he depended on himself? Maybe some areas where he struggled in faith? Yeah, he did. Did he have some areas where he needed to walk in patient faith because it took like 20-something years? You know what I'm saying? Did he need something to strengthen his faith? And it says, and Abraham strengthened his faith. Strengthened his faith. Did you catch that? Strengthened his faith. Doing what? Giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4. Giving glory to God. What is that? Praise, right? How do you give glory to God? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I boast in you. You are a good God. You're faithful. What did Abraham do? Lord, I'm convinced that you promised it. You're going to do it. I remember that you made that covenant sacrifice, and you're able to do it. Nothing's impossible for you, God. And he convinced his heart by praising God. Why else would Jesus say, when the disciples could not, the very story we've been looking at, when the disciples could not heal that boy who was an epileptic, had epileptic seizures because some demon, right? And they couldn't heal him, but Jesus said, get out. And the demon left the boy, right? And they said, Jesus, how come we can't do this? And we've looked at the story. Jesus says, well, it's because of your little faith. If you had faith like a mustard seed, the guy would come out. The demon would come out. And then he said to his disciples, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Clearly, Jesus did not spend an hour or a couple of days praying and fasting before he cast the demon out. Why? Because he'd already been prayed up. But did you hear what Jesus just told us? This kind, you want to grow your faith? You want to increase your faith? You want to strengthen your faith? Oh, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. What's prayer? They're words. They're coming out of your mouth. Yes? Yeah? How can you grow your faith? Oh, I'm giving glory to God. How can you grow your faith? Oh, I'm going to pray. Then you throw in fasting as a catalyst for prayer. Just a catalyst. Prayer. Crying out to God. Lord, Lord, I'm asking you, grow my faith. Lord, Lord, give me authority. Show me, help me to understand my authority over these demons. I thank you, Lord, that every demon is under your feet. Every demon is under, I give you glory. Jesus, you have all authority in heaven and on earth. I give you glory. I boast in you. You're the King of Kings. Lord, and I pray, God, give me a revelation to understand that I am righteous in you, that your spirit is in me, the same spirit that was in you is in me, God. And so I'm asking that you would show me, Lord, I pray, give me authority over those demons, Lord. Give me authority over, Lord, I want to pray for people to be healed of those epileptic seizures, Lord. I don't want that boy to suffer, God. Give me your compassion. Give me your, what am I doing? Speaking the word out, am I? Aren't I? Am I not aligning my heart with the truth of God's word, through giving God glory and through prayer, voicing out the word of God, personalizing the word, asking him for understanding, asking him for grace, praising him for the truth, and I'm aligning my heart, how? With my words, because the tongue is the rudder of the ship. You see that? You see that? Do you know that Proverbs says in chapter 4, that out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Flow all the issues of life. Where do they flow from? From your mouth. No, I mean, you're right, yeah. For out of it spring all the issues of life. Guess where they're coming out of? It's coming out of your mouth. Whatever you believe is going to set the story of your life and determine the fruitfulness that you see in your life. But where is it coming out of? It's coming out of your mouth. That's why it says, keep a perverse mouth far from you. That's why it says in Proverbs chapter 18, death and life are in the tongue. The power of death and life are in the tongue. The power of death and life, the power of the tongue. Then it says, and he who loves its fruit will eat it. We read that and we're like, what? I thought he was talking about words. Yeah, your words are fruit. Got something inside of your heart, it manifests in your words, fruit, and then you eat your own words. But the Proverbs say, a man has joy by the answer of his own tongue. Your soul, your heart, what's going on inside of you will follow your tongue. So, you can speak your words and you'll keep getting the same results in your life. You can speak words of death and you'll get death in your life. Barrenness, fruitlessness, frustration, that's what you'll get. You can speak lies about yourself. You can speak lies about your identity. You can speak lies, and then you'll keep strengthening that stronghold in your mind that you are a failure or worthless or not beautiful. You can do that if you want. You can speak words of this world system, and you'll get the results of this world system. Or you could do something else. This is beautiful. Or you could choose to speak God's word, and guess what you'll get? You'll get God's word in your life. It's not that hard. Jesus said that. You believe it, you speak it, yours. Yours. Because he's trying to convince us he already wants to do it in our life. He's faithful. But he's trying to convince us that he wants to do it. And he's looking for a people who will agree with him, who will believe him and say, you are good. You are faithful. Your word is true. He's looking for a people who will stop listening to the voice of the enemy, who will stop giving glory to death, glory to the enemy, glory to lies, and start boasting in their God and say, thank you, Lord, that you said it, and you only said it because you love me. And so I thank you, Lord, that it's mine. Lord, I ask that you give it to me in the name of Jesus, and then you wait patiently and all that. That's what he's looking for. And so you could speak heavenly words, and you'll get heaven's results. You can speak words of life, and you'll get life. Which one do you want? Remember in Deuteronomy? Choose death or choose life. How do you choose death? Speak death. How do you choose life? Speak life. It's your choice. You could speak both, and you'll have side effects. Or you could determine, I will only say what God says. I will not grumble or complain. I will not blame God. I will not accuse God or curse God. I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can determine in your heart, I will speak life. I will agree with God. This is what Joshua told to do. Joshua 1 verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's telling Joshua, Joshua has an assignment to lead the people of Israel into their promised land. And he's telling Joshua, I want you to be strong. I don't want you to be wimpy. And when you face things that would, in the natural, cause you to be dismayed, meaning just drain all your confidence and you're just, oh. Why am I even trying? I should give up. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened, discouraged, afraid. Don't let that into your heart. I want you to be courageous. I want you to be strong because I want you to obey me. Now that's the deal. For all of us, we have to obey God in order to see that this stuff come to pass in our life. Yes, it's by the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, but we need to obey God. That's always the bottom line. You're either building your life on the rock or the sand. But here's the deal. If you don't meditate the Word of God, you won't have the strength to obey Him. You speaking the Word of God, meditating the Word of God out of your mouth is the bridge between hearing and doing. And so you know the truth. You know the truth. But why do I not do it? You need more truth, first of all. There's a lot of times where people, they don't know really who they are, and they have a wrong understanding of who they are, and they're still believing these lies. But you don't need to psychoanalyze so much as you need to hear the truth and then come into agreement with the truth. You can have no faith, but if you'll agree with the truth that you hear, speak it out of your mouth. Oh, it changed you. Grow your faith up like that. Put strength on the inside of you to obey God. See, but if you speak words of death constantly, when you come to that temptation, you have no strength against the temptation. Because it's not your strength anyways. It's supposed to be His. When you come up against that bill, you have no strength to believe God, and you get dismayed. God is telling Joshua how to be strong, which will lead to him obeying God instead of being afraid. What we don't realize is that we're sowing words of unbelief into our hearts, which is like poking holes in the bottom of a bathtub. Just drain all your confidence right out. Drain it all up. Or we can do the opposite. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Mouth. Meditating means to mutter. Anyways, doesn't mean like, or whatever. Meditate. You speak it out. You start preaching it to yourself. You start preaching it to other people, you know, graciously. In fellowship, in your life groups, you just start encouraging one another, the Bible says, speaking the word of God to one another. You start preaching to yourself, right? You're driving in the car. You just start preaching to yourself in your prayer times. You preach to yourself. When we worship, you just bless God and thank Him for the truth. You begin to have a lifestyle of worship, thankfulness, praise, prayer. Preach to yourself. Meditate the word. Go over it and over it and over it and over it and speak it to yourself. Over and over and over again. How much is too much? You can't do too much. I mean, maybe if you were like weird and you were like meditating while I was trying to talk to you, and I'd be like, yo, dude, time out for a second. We're trying to have a conversation. So I get, that could be too much. No, I'm messing around. What I mean, you can be meditating the word constantly throughout your day, just muttering to yourself, speaking to yourself, preaching to yourself, constantly throughout the day. Notice it says day and night, day and night. In the morning and in the evening, at least, that would be at least a smart idea, right? A little bit of the word in the morning, a little bit of the word at night. But he's talking day and night, day and night, day and night. Why is that? Because if you're like me, you're getting bombarded by the enemy, by culture, by other influences, by your own jacked up way of thinking. I mean, come on, shoot, our flesh, enemy been working on our wrong mindset since we were little children a lot of times, right? We got all this like unresolved issues. We need to do something about that instead of just sitting around letting the enemy keep bringing up stuff from our past and just keep condemning us. We need to say, no, no more. You meditate the word day and night, day and night. You could be jacked up. You could have so many emotional issues. You can have all these lies in your mind. You could have no faith. And if you'll agree with God and speak the word of God out, it will change your heart. This is how you renew your mind. This is how you renew your mind. Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is how you break down every stronghold in your life. Every lie, every deception, every bondage in your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 that these are the weapons of our warfare that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Every lie, every bondage, every addiction in your life is rooted to a lie about God. And when you begin to hear the Word of God, speak the Word of God out, boom, you're going to change your mind. You're going to bring down those strongholds. You're going to build up strength in your heart. You're going to tell that demon to go. You're going to have strength against that temptation. God's going to speak to you and you're going to obey Him. Yeah. I felt like you guys were getting a little bit, you know, tired here. This is not a little thing. And as John Paul said in prayer, we are not wimpy. We have mighty weapons. All the Word of God is strong. The Word of God will not return void. And if you get it coming out of your mouth, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, it's a sword of the Spirit. Take all those demons down. Take all those lies down. Bring healing to your mind, to your emotions, to your body. Didn't you notice? If you don't stumble in word, you're able to bridle even your whole body. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. But so often what we do is we add to the word, we take away from the word, we throw in human traditions, we believe what our culture says, we listen to accusations from the enemy, we speak what our parents spoke over us. No more. If it doesn't line up with the word, no. This is what I'm trying to say. I don't mean that you walk around quoting the Bible all the time. I don't mean you just put verses up in your house. That's all good, by the way. What I mean is you speak according to the Word of God and you say only which lines up with the truth of God's Word. When you do that, you will get the Word's results. You will begin to be changed. It takes some time. Day and night. 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 And this is why it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's just a good place to start. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Shoot, you could be going through anything. You say, what's God's will for my life? Lord, what's your will? What's your will for my life? It says it right there. Might not be the only thing, but that's a good start right there. Thankfulness, joy, and prayer. Because those are words coming out of your mouth in alignment with the reality of God, that He reigns on high. He's bought you with His blood. His Spirit is in on the inside of you. You're going to heaven, and He's coming back. That He will restore you completely, that by His stripes you are healed, that the one who started a good work in you will finish it. You begin to speak those truths, and it will grow your faith and release the power of God. I'm telling you, there's probably nothing else more important. No, I didn't say that right. All these habits are really important. All of them are essential. You know, you take one out and you miss something. And all of these things are vital. But this one is so powerful that if you don't do it, you won't see the fruit in your life. I mean, you could hear sermons all day, but sometimes you just got to turn them off and start preaching to yourself. It's good to hear the word. But you need to be meditating the word day and night. Somebody says, but I don't like reading my Bible. You don't? Fine. Get the word coming out of your mouth. I mean, read your Bible too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, stop being religious about this. Sometimes, you know, you hear a sermon like this and you think, I'm the one being religious. But really, the person's like, well, I don't like reading my Bible. Well, you're the one putting God in a box. Get the word coming into your ear and get the word coming out of your mouth. Whatever truth you've received, you speak that out. And you don't even have to do it like me. You don't have to sound like me. You don't have to do it in any guy. You just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Just thank you, Lord, that the word says this and that. This is so powerful. I remember somebody's asked me more than once. People have asked me, how do you like get this thing moving? How do you do the fast track? I said, well, only say the word. You want to grow faster? Let me say the word. I guarantee it. I remember when I was so discouraged, struggling. I didn't have any faith more than a dozen years ago. Weird when you can say that. I was burnt out physically, spiritually, emotionally. I didn't believe God loved me. I wasn't even sure if He was real. struggling. Thought God was just a dictator, analyzing me, criticizing me, condemning me. That's how I felt on the inside. That's what I heard in my head. I'm trying to make sure you understand, it wasn't a little crisis of faith. And I made a choice. God is true. Every man a liar. Romans 3 says. You know what, God? I think I'm jacked up on the inside. I don't know what's going on in the inside of me, but it's not you. I had a little bit of understanding to say, this stuff going on the inside, we so often think, must be God. It's not God. It's me. And I'm messed up. I'm broken. I'm hurting. And I started taking responsibility for my own issues. I still try to do that to this day. Forgave anybody need to be forgiven, and I just take responsibility. I don't know why I believe these lies, but I believe lies. Began to realize this is not who God is. So I listened to people who would preach the word of God to me. And though I didn't believe it, I just said, Lord, I'm putting my trust in your word to change me because I don't believe this. Like, I don't feel it. Like, my brain is not lining up with this. Like, I'm kind of one of those cynics. So I'm going to be skeptical and cynical first, which really hinders the power of God, by the way. But the word is so powerful that I just listened to the word of God and I would open up my heart and say, God, you're right. I don't know what's going on with me, but you're right. The truth, this is the truth. And I listened to people preaching the gospel to me, the truth. And then something began to happen inside of me where the Lord broke, and I'll probably explain this phrase another time, but broke offense in my heart. He showed me these things that were going on in me. And I verbally repented to the Lord. That's agreeing with God, right? I agreed with God. And I said, no, that's a sin. And I still remember, one day I wake up in the morning and I am unmotivated and depressed. And the Lord said to me, I was very grumpy. And the Lord said to me, thank me for today. Oh, you know that like feeling inside of you when you like everything within you doesn't want to do something? You know what I'm saying? I know that's how my kids, I see it in my kids all the time. You know, you're like, and they're just like, no. That's how I was. I was like, no way, not going to do it. Not happy. And the Lord said, thank me for today. I think he might have said it three times, but it was very stern one time. It was like, all right, thank you for today. And then he said, thank me for the cross. Thank you for the cross. And I don't know, somewhere in the third or fourth time, began to catch on to something here. And I began to do from that moment, very simply, began to thank the Lord for the truth. Thank you, Lord. You love me. Thank you, Lord. The blood you shed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You wonder why I say that word all the time. Thank you, Lord. It's the word. Thank you for the truth of your word. This is truth. I still remember, I didn't really see the difference in my life yet. I didn't see a lot of the fruit yet. I was still kind of struggling. But I still remember people coming up to me in this church that I've been a part of for 17 years, my family, and they would say, something different about you. Something different. I don't know. I still remember people really close to me, Pastor Dave Metzger, something different about you. I don't know what it is. He's like, you pray different. I don't know how you pray. Pray with a lot of faith. But you're not like those weird faith people. I didn't know what he meant. Like, oh. Something different about you. People would say, you seem more confident. You? Cool. Slowly began to actually believe. Oh, he really does like me. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I started getting revelation from the Lord. And I never put my faith in my faith. put my faith in the Word. I just say, Lord, you said it. And the Word began to work on my heart, and I was convinced. Renewed the mind. All that. Strongholds were broken. I rose up into my identity, into my calling. And I rose up into confidence. It had nothing to do with me or my personality or my performance. Still to this day, there's something going on inside of me that's not from God. Just take the truth, and like a sword, I come against that. And I don't get off the Word until I see a change in my faith, and then I see breakthrough. I've seen this in every area of my life. As I get my heart to align with the truth of God's Word, and then the power of God is released. I'm saying every area of my life. Say, Anna, does this work for your marriage? Come on. Does this work for your finances? Hello. Is he not our provider? Did he not make promises? Right? Is this how like healing works? Yeah. How do you think I could just be like, be healed? And somebody's healed. Do you think I healed them? Of course you know that. I didn't do it. It's the fruit of faith coming out, right? How do you think you're blessed sometimes when I preach the Word? It's not because I'm like really smart or a good communicator. Come on. You guys are all like, are you supposed to laugh? No, I just... It's the power of God's Word coming out of my mouth with faith because I really believe it. Didn't used to. Amen? Your tongue is the rudder of the ship. Kurt, lead us in response because we need to respond. Amen? We need to respond to the truth of God's Word. We need to respond. All right, real quick. Get these prayer teams up. Worship and prayer teams, get up here now. I'm just joking around. Hurry.
All right, let's stand. Close your eyes. We're going to commit to do what the Lord has said, and then we're going to give him a chance to do that. So, if you mean this, and you receive that word today, just repeat after me. Father, I commit to have my words align with your words. To not say anything unless it agrees with you. Thank you, Father. Now, church, I just want to, I'm going to give you a second. Listen to the Lord about an area. Maybe there are words. Maybe something specific. And I want you quiet, you know, you can do it loud, but I would just at least quietly to yourself, but with your lips, with air coming out of your vocal cords, I want you to use words right now that agree with God. Whatever the Lord is putting on your heart, it can just be, Lord, I thank you that you love me. It can be thankfulness. Lord, I agree that you're going to take care of me. Even though I don't feel it, I agree it. Go ahead, do that right now. Just a few more seconds. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind you that we had some words of knowledge given earlier. And if any of that pertained to you and you would still want someone to partner with you, I actually encourage you. Some of you actually really do need to do that. So I'm going to kind of remind us of what some of those words were. The Lord is healing depression this morning. If you're in that place of the Lord lifting you higher, come up. Get some prayer. Intestinal issues, abdominal issues, that could be anything in that area that could be linked to anxiety, or you just have things you need healing in that area, come up. I had teeth. I felt like someone's teeth needed healing, which I think is amazing when God gives me a word of knowledge like that, because we don't always expect the Lord to do those things. I expect him, so come up expecting. And if you need healing at all in your body for anything that was not mentioned, believing God for someone in your family, come up. And not just physical healing, like the Lord wants to touch you. So I encourage you, come up and receive prayer. If you're not receiving prayer, I want to bless you. Well, I want to bless all of you today. Have a wonderful Sunday. Help grab a chair if you can. And if you need to take a second and just kind of continue to commit your life to the Lord, do that. Amen. Amen.